everyone, welcome back to the deep dive. You know how this works. You give us the tough topics, we get you the answers fast. And today, we're tackling something a lot of you've been asking about. Like, a lot. How do we actually, like, figure out God's will for our lives? Seems pretty important, right?
Absolutely. And thankfully, one of you pointed us to some material by Dr. Gary Metters, a lecture and some slides all about this.
Yeah, it's some pretty dense stuff.
It is.
And what we want to do in this deep dive is give you that core framework, like Dr. Metter's blueprint, so you can really grasp his model before you dig into all the details yourself.
That's it. Think of us as your guides through this material, giving you that aerial view so you can see the whole landscape before you start exploring each individual path.
Okay, so right off the bat, Dr. Metters starts with a concept that might sound a little philosophy classy. He talks about knowing.
Right.
He even uses this word epistemology, which he explains just means the study of knowing in, like, fancy Greek. So why kick things off there? It seems pretty basic, but why is this the foundation for understanding God's will?
Because before we can even talk about knowing what God wants, we got to figure out, like, how we know anything at all, right? Epistemology sets the stage for that. It's about figuring out where our knowledge comes from, what it even is, and how we can be sure it's, like, legitimate. Yeah. And he briefly touches on two other related concepts, too. Ontology, which is about what's actually real, and axiology, which is about values and how we act based on what we know.
So epistemology is the how we know, ontology is the what is real, and axiology is, like, the so what we do with that knowledge.
Precisely. So let's say we're talking about the existence of God. Ontology would deal with the question of whether God actually exists. Epistemology would explore how we can know that he exists. And axiology would look at how that knowledge should impact our values and behavior.
Okay, I see.
Dr. Metters is basically saying that understanding how we know things is absolutely crucial before we can even start talking about knowing God's will.
Right.
It's all about building a solid, trustworthy foundation for truth.
Got it. So he then goes through those usual suspects, right? Like, where do we get our knowledge from? Our senses, our feelings, what we hear and see, using our brains to think things through, reason.
Right, right.
And he makes this interesting point that as Christians, we often start with authority, like, you know, learning from our pastors, teachers, people we trust.
Totally. I think that's spot on. For many of us, our faith journey begins by accepting what we're taught for those we respect.
Yeah, for sure.
But Dr. Metters seems to suggest that as our faith matures, we need to go beyond simply accepting and really engage in a deeper, more personal understanding. And he brings up intuition, too. But he's careful to explain that, biblically speaking, this isn't just some random hunch or feeling. It's more aligned with the concept of revelation. You know, God revealing himself to us in some way.
Okay, so it's like that direct line from God, not just a gut feeling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he uses this classic thought experiment.
You know,
that one about the tree falling in the woods. Mm. If nobody's around to hear it, does it make a sound?
Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
Right. That's a tricky one. What's the point of bringing that up in this context?
Yeah, what's he getting at there?
It's all about getting us to think about whether truth and reality are objective, meaning they exist independently of us, or subjective, meaning they depend on our individual perception.
Okay, yeah.
Dr. Metters is leaning towards the objective side. He's suggesting that God's will isn't some fluid thing that changes with our moods, but rather it's rooted in an objective reality, something that exists whether or not we fully understand it.
So it's solid, it's firm, it's out there, even if we're still figuring it out.
Yes, exactly. And this leads to the question of how we validate knowledge. He brings up two key concepts, correspondence and coherence. Correspondence is basically when our understanding matches up with reality, it's backed up by solid evidence. Coherence, on the other hand, is about how different pieces of information fit together logically and consistently. So, for instance, correspondence in a faith context might be seeing how biblical principles actually play out in our real lives, while coherence would be about how different parts of the Bible fit together without contradicting each other.
So it's like, does it line up with what we see and experience, and does it all make sense internally?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you can see how knowing is way more complex than we often give it credit for.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got this foundation of knowing laid out. How does Dr. Metters bring the Bible into all of this to fill in those, as he calls them, epistemological blanks?
Right. This is where it starts to get really practical for us as believers. Yes. Dr. Metters is very clear that the Bible is our primary source of knowledge, especially when we're talking about understanding God and his will. We still use our reason, of course, and we look for that internal consistency within the Bible, like coherence we just talked about. But ultimately, it's the Bible's authority as God's revealed word that sets it apart.
It's the ultimate guidebook.
Exactly. And remember that idea of intuition as revelation. Dr. Metters connects that to this feeling of inner conviction that we can experience when we read scripture or pray. He suggests that this is often the Holy Spirit working through the Bible to speak to our hearts.
Yep, powerful.
And he reiterates that the knowledge we get from the Bible is objective. It's not just our own interpretation, and that it's validated by both its internal coherence and its correspondence with the reality that God has revealed.
Okay, I'm following so far. Now, Dr. Metters introduces a really crucial concept, the dilemma of knowing God after the fall. He's talking about Adam and Eve, right? How does that whole original sin thing mess up our ability to figure out what God wants?
He really dives into how the fall wasn't just an act of disobedience, but something that fundamentally distorted our perception, our ability to see things clearly.
Like it messed up our vision.
Exactly. Dr. Metters explains that sin didn't just separate us from God relationally, but it also clouded our ability to truly see him, both in the world around us and even within ourselves. He contrasts David's awe and wonder at creation in Psalm 19, where David sees the heavens declaring God's glory, with a worldview that sees that same universe and finds no evidence of a creator. It's like looking at the same painting but seeing completely different things.
Wow, yeah.
So the takeaway here is that sin has essentially given us these cloudy glasses that make it really hard to see God clearly. And that's why external revelation, specifically through scripture, becomes so essential.
It's like God had to give us a clearer picture, a written guide, because we were struggling to see him on our own.
Exactly.
Okay, that makes sense. So what's God's response to this post-fall fuzziness, according to Dr. Metters? What's the solution?
It's all about grace. Dr. Metters points to the gift of revelation through scripture as God's answer. He specifically references 1 Corinthians 2:6-10, where Paul talks about this wisdom from God that's revealed by the Holy Spirit. For us, that wisdom comes primarily through the Bible. It's our most accessible source for knowing God and his will.
It's God spelling things out for us.
Exactly. But Dr. Metters is also realistic. He acknowledges that there's this ongoing tension. You know, we have this perfect inspired text, but we're imperfect readers and interpreters, and that can lead to different understandings.
Right.
However, the key message is that God has given us everything we need in Scripture, and he expects us to engage with it actively if we truly want to know him.
Okay, this makes a lot of sense. Now, Dr. Metters talks about needing a biblical worldview and values to properly discern God's will. How do those act as like a compass or guide for us?
So if we connect this back to the fall, Dr. Metters is suggesting that understanding the effects of sin on humanity forms the basis of a Christian worldview. He points to those descriptions of our fallen nature in Romans, highlighting that natural tendency we have to go against God's ways.
Yeah.
Now, conversion is a huge step, right? It starts to change our desires. We want to obey God, understand him better.
Sure.
But that internal struggle doesn't just vanish overnight.
Right. We're all a work in progress.
That's it. And that's where a biblical worldview, like a way of seeing and understanding the world through the lens of scripture and biblical values, the principles we hold dear based on that worldview become so crucial. They give us that framework, that filter for discerning God's will in our lives. It's about aligning ourselves with God's perspective and priorities.
So it's like having those God glasses on instead of the cloudy ones we got from the fall.
Exactly. It helps us see things the way God sees them.
Okay, now we get to a really key passage. Romans 12:1-2. Dr. Metters sees this as central to his model. What's so significant about these two little verses?
It's a powerful stuff. Paul is urging believers to offer their bodies as living sacrifices. And he describes this as our spiritual act of worship or our rational service.
Okay.
Dr. Metters, in this context, defines worldliness as adopting ways of thinking and values that go against God's.
Makes sense.
And then comes that famous line, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind."
Yeah, I've heard that one before, but it's easier said than done, right?
Totally. But that's where Dr. Metters gets really practical. He emphasizes that this transformation isn't about some mystical experience. It's a mental process. It's about learning and being educated by God's word.
So it's like going to school, but for our souls.
Exactly.
And how does this renewed mind actually help us figure out God's will? Like, what's the connection?
The key is that Dr. Metters connects this mental transformation directly to our ability to discern God's will. He's saying that as we consistently fill our minds with scripture, we start to develop that biblical worldview and those biblical values we've been talking about. And these become like our new internal filter. It's how we process information and make decisions. We learn to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will, as Paul puts it. And it's important to know that Dr. Metters makes a distinction here. He says the Bible doesn't tell us to go on some quest to find God's will, like it's some hidden treasure map.
Yeah, I've always struggled with that image.
Instead, it's about doing God's will. It's about obedience that flows from this transformed understanding.
So it's less about discovery and more about alignment.
Precisely.
Okay, now, Dr. Metters introduces a pretty simple but powerful model to illustrate this. He says data, the stuff we encounter in life, goes through our mind, which he equates to our heart in the biblical sense, our thinking, and produces meaning.
Yes, I love this model. It's so helpful for understanding how our worldview operates. We're all bombarded with information, the data of life, right?
For sure.
But it's our mind, that internal framework of beliefs and values that acts like a lens, shaping how we interpret that data and the meaning we ultimately derive from it.
Like a filter.
Exactly. And he uses this great example of the word sin. Someone without a biblical worldview might see sin as an outdated concept or just a simple mistake. But someone with a Christian worldview, informed by Scripture, understands sin as rebellion against a holy God. The Christian grid, you could say, built through Scripture, provides that definition and understanding.
So two people see the same word, but it has totally different meanings for them based on their worldview.
That's exactly it. So this transformation through Scripture creates that essential thinking block, that foundation of worldview and values that impacts everything.
It's like the operating system for our lives.
Exactly.
Okay, so let's talk about worldview and values a bit more. How does Dr. Metters define them, and why are they so important in this process?
So he defines a worldview as our fundamental framework for explaining reality. It's that set of beliefs we use to make sense of the world around us. And our values are those deeply held principles that stem from that worldview and guide our thoughts and actions. He uses some really helpful contrasts to illustrate this. You know that saying, he who dies with the most toys wins.
Yeah, I've heard that one.
That reflects a very different worldview than one centered on loving God and loving your neighbor. Or the idea of loving things and using people versus loving people and using things. Those are direct clashes in value systems based on different worldviews.
It's like living in completely different worlds.
Exactly. And the crucial point here is that everyone has a worldview and a set of values, whether they've consciously thought about them or not. For Christians, the call is to intentionally examine our worldview and actively align it with God's perspective as revealed in Scripture.
It's about being intentional, making sure our worldview is grounded in truth, not just what we've absorbed from culture. Okay, now Dr. Metters makes this distinction between transforming our minds through education, learning what the Bible really means, and its implications, rather than just our personal devotional reading. What's the difference there?
Well, personal Bible reading and prayer are absolutely vital. Dr. Metters is emphasizing that the deep transformation needed for discerning God's will comes through actively studying and understanding the teachings of Scripture in their full context. It's not just about feeling good or getting a quick inspirational quote. It's about wrestling with the text, understanding the historical context, the nuances, the bigger picture.
So it's going deeper than just surface level reading.
Exactly. And the goal is to cultivate what he calls self-conscious deliberation in our decision making. It's about consciously engaging our biblically informed worldview and values rather than just reacting based on our feelings or what the world tells us to do.
It's about thinking things through with our God glasses on.
Yes. It's about letting that transformed worldview guide our choices.
Now, it sounds like this biblical worldview has a pretty wide reach. It influences how we make decisions in just about every area of life, right?
Absolutely. Dr. Metters illustrates this by pointing out how our worldview shapes our perspectives and choices in everything from education, you know, whether we choose public, private, or homeschooling, to healthcare decisions, our understanding of legal and political issues, how we view the environment, our views on family, even how we appreciate the arts. It affects everything.
Wow. So it's not just about Sunday mornings. It's about how we live Monday through Saturday as well.
Exactly. It touches every aspect of our lives. And he gives those concrete examples, like decisions about birth control, abortion, end-of-life care, how we manage our finances, how we raise our children. All of these are profoundly influenced by our underlying worldview and values.
So it's about aligning all those areas with a biblical perspective.
Precisely.
Okay. Dr. Metters then takes a moment to address the biblical language used when talking about the will of God in both the Old and New Testaments. What's the key takeaway there?
He points out that the phrase will of God isn't some monolithic, one-size-fits-all term in Scripture. it actually carries a range of meanings.
Oh, okay. Like what?
For example, it can refer to God's desire, what pleases him, what he delights in, his choice, his favor, his love, his determined plan. You know, it encompasses a lot.
So it's more nuanced than we might initially think.
Absolutely. And while he mentions that he'll dive into this more deeply later on, the initial point is to appreciate the richness and variety in how the Bible speaks about God's will. It's not always about finding that one specific path.
Okay, that's helpful. He then goes on to explain some key aspects of God's will, specifically distinguishing between God's sovereign will and his moral will. What's the difference there, and why is it important?
So God's sovereign will refers to his ultimate plan for the universe, his hidden decrees that are ultimately outside of our control. While that's a theological truth, it's not our primary concern when trying to discern God's will for our day-to-day lives. Instead, Dr. Metters points us to God's moral will, which is his revealed desires for humanity clearly laid out in Scripture.
Okay, I see.
This is where we find those guiding principles, those values that are meant to shape our lives. Think of things like the Ten Commandments, the moral teachings in the law, the principles we see played out in biblical stories, the wisdom offered in Proverbs and Psalms.
It's like the ethical roadmap for how we should live.
Exactly. And he emphasizes that when the Bible talks about us knowing or doing God's will, it's almost always referring to this moral will. It's about aligning our lives with what God has already revealed.
So it's not about trying to crack some secret code, but about living in obedience to what God has clearly shown us.
That's it. God has already spoken through Scripture, and our task is to transform our minds and live out those revealed values.
That makes a lot of sense. Now, this leads to the idea of reading the Bible not as a scavenger hunt for specific proof texts to justify what we want to do, but as a way to understand God's character and his ways. Why is this approach so important?
Because it gets to the heart of what it means to follow God. Dr. Metters stresses that truly discerning God's will requires engaging with the entirety of Scripture. We need to grasp the big picture of God's redemptive plan, his consistent character throughout history, his heart for humanity.
So it's about zooming out and seeing the whole tapestry, not just focusing on one little thread.
Exactly. It's about getting a sense of the whole narrative, not just cherry-picking verses to support our preconceived ideas.
That's a good way to put it.
He argues that the Bible is completely sufficient to equip us with that foundational mindset for navigating life's complexities in a way that honors God.
Okay.
And he also mentions, briefly, that there are different levels of teaching in Scripture. Direct commands, implied principles, and what he calls creative constructs. Understanding these different levels is key. But he says he'll explore that more in depth later.
So it's like layers of meaning within the text.
Exactly.
Okay, now Dr. Metters introduces this concept of values deposit as part of developing a biblical worldview and values. What does he mean by that?
It's a really interesting idea. He's basically saying that as believers throughout history have engaged with God's revelation through those stories like Lot and Abraham, through the Psalms, the prophets, the life and teachings of Jesus, the New Testament, they've built up this kind of values deposit. It's like a shared bank of wisdom and understanding of God's ways that has been passed down through generations.
So it's the collective wisdom of the church built over centuries.
Exactly. And he points out that we can derive values not just from direct commands in Scripture, but also from those narratives, those stories, and the wisdom literature. True wisdom, he argues, isn't just about what seems practical in the moment or what human logic dictates. It flows from that deep well of biblical understanding, those values that have stood the test of time.
So it's wisdom rooted in God's perspective, not just human cleverness.
Exactly.
Okay, Dr. Metters then presents this model to bring it all together. God's sovereign will at the base, his moral will building on that, and then applied through godly discernment. How do those layers work together in practice?
Think of it like a pyramid, with God's sovereign will as that solid foundation. But it's mostly operating behind the scenes in God's realm.
Right.
Then, his moral will, revealed in Scripture, provides those clear principles and values to guide us.
That's our map.
Exactly. And then, godly discernment is the process of taking those moral principles, informed by our transformed worldview and values, and applying them to our specific situations. It's about making wise decisions in light of what God has shown us.
So it's taking that knowledge, that map, and using it to navigate our lives.
That's it. And Dr. Metters defines godliness in this context as seeking to follow biblical principles, even in those areas where we might not find a direct command.
So it's about applying those principles to new situations.
It's a God.
Okay, he then touches on some of those more subjective aspects of discerning God's will, like our conscience, the role of the Holy Spirit, providence, and prayer. He mentions he'll go deeper into these later, but he does give us a little glimpse into his understanding of conscience. How does he define that?
He starts by asking some really thought-provoking questions about conscience. Is it our ultimate guide? Is it something separate from our beliefs? Is it just a mishmash of different opinions?
Yeah, those are good questions.
And then he defines conscience as this God-given capacity for self-evaluation. It's that internal mechanism that assesses our own worldview and values. He sees it as a witness to the worldview and value system we've embraced.
It's like that little voice inside our heads.
Yes, but he's careful to explain that it's a voice informed by our worldview, not necessarily always a perfectly reliable guide.
So it can be flawed.
Exactly. Mm. He uses that powerful example of Paul before his conversion, persecuting Christians with a clear conscience, to illustrate that point.
Wow, yeah.
Our conscience operates based on the information and beliefs we hold. A flawed worldview will lead to a limited and potentially misdirected conscience.
So it's a monitor, but not the source of truth itself.
That's it.
Okay, what about just a quick mention of the Holy Spirit, providence, and prayer for now?
Regarding the Holy Spirit, Dr. Metters raises those questions about whether the Spirit adds new information beyond Scripture or primarily helps us understand and apply Scripture correctly.
Okay, right.
He says that'll be a key discussion later. And he also notes that the roles of providence, God's active guidance in the world, and the power of prayer will each have their own dedicated sessions.
So lots more to come on those topics.
Absolutely.
Finally, Dr. Metters brings it all back to that central system, right? Taking the knowledge we get from Scripture, processing it through our framework of worldview and values, and that ultimately shapes the meaning we find in life and the actions we take.
That's the core of it. He really emphasizes the importance of self-reflection, echoing that famous idea that the unexamined life is not worth living, and applying it specifically to us as Christians and our engagement with Scripture. He encourages us to really visualize this model, this process, because it's at the heart of how we seek to understand and live out God's will.
So it's not just about passively absorbing information, but about actively engaging our minds and letting that transform our lives.
Precisely. It's about letting God's word renew our minds and shape our worldview.
That's powerful. So as we wrap up this initial dive into Dr. Metters' framework, what would you say is the absolute key takeaway for our listeners today?
The core message is this. Discerning God's will is a journey of internal transformation. It's about actively renewing your mind through consistent, deep engagement with biblical truth. And that leads to developing a sound, biblically informed worldview and a set of values that reflects God's heart. And that internal framework then becomes the lens through which you make decisions, navigate challenges, and understand what it means to do God's will. It's less about finding a hidden path and more about living in alignment with a transformed heart and mind.
That's a huge shift in perspective, isn't it? It's not about some external quest, but about internal transformation.
It is. It's about becoming more like Christ, letting his word shape who we are at our core.
As you continue to explore Dr. Metters' lectures, we encourage you to really think about this overview and consider how your own worldview and values measure up against what the Bible teaches. And remember, Dr. Metters mentioned that future deep dives will explore those fascinating details of epistemology, scriptural interpretation, the role of the Spirit, and much more.
Yes. And don't hesitate to use the contact information provided in Dr. Metters' materials if you have questions as you go deeper. There's so much to unpack here, and we're excited to continue exploring it with you.
Absolutely. And here's one final thought to chew on as you go. How does this understanding that God's will is primarily something to be done, lived out through our transformed understanding, rather than something mysterious to be found, change how you approach decision-making? How does it affect your relationship with Scripture? Those are some big questions to ponder. Thanks for joining us for the deep dive. We'll see you next time.